Hello, welcome back to another episode of Seeking Scale. Andy, how's it going?
Going all right. Definitely like a bit stressed right now as we're like a little over a week away from football starting. There's a lot of stuff in motion, so it's kind of crunch time right now. For me, it's good in the sense that it forces me to prioritize because it's just like, obviously, okay, these things can't all get done by then. And so that's good. And that's where like my head's been at, is just like this ruthless prioritization of just figuring out what matters, what doesn't. I think I've made a lot of improvements. So I think about that. The hard part is going to be just realizing it along the way and like upfront, like making a better process so that like this kind of stuff happens rather than wasting a bunch of time. And then at the very end, like, oh shit, like, okay, like I could have just done X, Y, and Z and ignored the rest. So kind of a lot bouncing around in my head in there, but in general, though, like, I mean, things are going well. I feel like we're making really good progress, but yeah, just at crunch time right now. How are things on your end?
Yeah, man, things are good. Yeah, similarly, I don't know. On one hand, feeling like we're making a bunch of progress. On the other hand, like, it is a bit like two steps forward and one steps back sometimes. And yeah, I think we're both probably asking ourselves a lot of the same questions, which is like, how much of what I'm doing is not the right thing? You know, certainly some of it, right, is just like things we feel like we should do or have to do or whatever and don't. And I think I mentioned before we started recording, like the term capital efficiency is one that like I think about a lot when you think about like the public market companies, you know, and like Apple being a really good example, like Warren Buffett loves them because they're a capital efficient company. And I think about how capitally efficient we are a lot. And like the hard thing is it's like a day-to-day set of decisions that you have to make. And I think that that's like trying to maintain that discipline is hard and maybe tiring. And that's just where my head is. And so I think that's what we're going to talk about that a little bit today, just because, yeah, it sounds like we're both talking about prioritization and making sure we're working on the right stuff. And it's just really hard because I think there's, for me at least, there's a lot of influences internally and externally that pull you in a bunch of different directions, and how to elegantly ignore some of those and the right ones is, I think, like really challenging because you don't want to ostracize people or their beliefs and what they think will move the needle on the business and what they want, but you want to kind of be the leader and make the decisions. And sometimes that means not agreeing. So,
yeah. And I mean, I think the issue in a lot of cases is just not a thorough or we're not trying to get a precise value or expected value for any action that we're considering taking. But I think most people don't even attempt to get close to one. And that's where it gets like really difficult to prioritize. And I think what happens in most cases is there's a ton of things you could be doing. Anyone on the team could be doing, your entire team could be doing. And you pick as many things as you can do to fill up the time. And then it's like more things keep getting added in and you never are able to like get your head above water and look at a higher level of like, okay, like why am I doing these things? It's just like you're trying to just tread water. You're trying to stay there. You're not really able to get out of it. And I really feel strongly like the vast majority of what people spend their time on has no impact, like meaningful impact on the business. But I think,
do you think that that's because people don't know that what they're working on isn't effective, or because they feel like they have to do it? Like you have to keep building more product. You have to have an active blog. You have to have social media presence for your company. Like, do you think it's that they don't know? And I mean, me probably, right? Like don't know, or like feel like you have to. And even though you know it's wrong. Suboptimal, I should say.
It's probably, so I think it's a bit of both. I mean, I think what the fundamental issue is just like not probing deep enough into the question of like, what is the impact, the potential impact of this? Like, how much is this worth? Like, and because I don't know, like, I just don't think people go deep enough in evaluating what they're doing and the different options. Like, okay, we should be doing this because it's going to increase our exposure. Okay, like, what's that going to do for us? It's going to like, I don't know, like it just like, I feel like people never get down to like, okay, and like, what will that actually do and get to something that is a concrete, not this is going to increase revenue by X% kind of a thing, but like just something that's actually close to the revenue, like close to more customers, close to something. And it's like the farther away from the dollar that you get, the more confident you have to be in the impact for it to be worth doing. And the more you have to know the other pieces in your funnel are functioning. Because like, if you're not able to convert with a high degree of certainty blog readers into trials, into customers, and increase and like expand their account, probably shouldn't just get more and more blog readers. It's like, okay, like let's make sure we're actually capitalizing on what we have. But I just think that when you break it down like that, most things to me are pretty obvious of like, okay, if you're wishy-washy and whether this could even have an impact, and if it has the impact you're thinking of, it's not even clear how that's going to lead to more revenue or actually profit, this is probably just not a priority. And I think that's a thought process that it's uncomfortable to have, but I feel like a lot of people just don't do that. And so that's kind of the first problem. But then if that's the case, it's, well, like, what if all the ideas are like that? And that to me is when there's like more of a strategic deficiency of like, yeah, if there's not, I think in a lot of cases where people can't figure out the right thing to do, or like what is the one thing, like what is the most impactful thing, it's probably because a good amount of it is just like having a really hard time quantifying that. But the other part is just potentially not having ideas that are that impactful. And that's why like one of the, so we're actually going to be setting up some metrics, because as we're digging into, like I'm trying to get more structured with this kind of analysis, like it's going to be lightweight, but just do want to be tracking some things. So yeah, a lot of it comes down to, in my opinion, just not having those ideas that could make a big difference, because it's like, we are going to finally be getting some basic analytics in place, but it's just, I don't think you should be having to get super precise to make a prioritization decision. The more precise you have to get, the more likely it is that you're not thinking about impactful things, because there, it, like in my opinion, there just should be obvious things like, okay, like of course, like even if I can't quantify the dollar amount, like okay, like this is a glaring hole in our process, like plugging this is going to be way better than just like adding some more stuff over here that might do something else. And I think like that's where the strategic deficiency comes in, is like you don't have any of those big impact things to prioritize from. And that's a kind of a different discussion.
So something that you and I were talking about before we started recording, as we were kind of prepping and our air quotes prepping for the episode, is like the kind of specificity of what you're talking about is important, in that it's not, you know, I would say, because I'm just like cavalier with my terminology, just go do more of what you're already doing if it's working. But to be more specific and drill down into exactly like the best things you're doing and how to make them even better. You know, so it's not like if content marketing is working for you, write more blog posts, right? But like if content marketing is working for you such that you drive self-service sign up customers of this certain type and they stay at this amount, and some of those people upgrade to a higher plan, go do that, right? Because that's four levels down and each
one is... Let me try to kind of like explain it a bit better. So yeah, there's a tweet from Drew Sinatra said, good customers tend to remain good. Crappy customers tend to remain crappy. Acquire more goods. Good customers. And it's like a simple, trite sounding thing, but I think this is like the root of everything that I'm talking about. And so when people say like double down on what works, it's because of this idea, which is basically like Bayesian probability of saying, okay, if you have tried something multiple times, you cannot assume the next time you try it is like an independent outcome. What has happened in the past is at least going to be somewhat reflective of the likelihood of something happening in the future. If you've never tried something and it didn't work out, that doesn't mean like the next time it's not going to work out. You just don't have enough data. But like as you get more and more data, the more you should trust that like this is what's going to continue, at least a trend that's going to continue. And so someone who signs up for a free trial, never uploads an episode, never opens your email. You can do everything you want to do to try to get them back, but like they've told you in a bunch of ways, they're just not a good fit. And so it's not about, okay, like what do I do to get more of them back? It's like, no, like they're just saying, hey, like maybe I accidentally did this, or like I am never going to start a podcast. Like they are giving you the signs that this is not the right fit. They're not a good customer. And it's often going to be the case where like we fall into the trap of focusing on what's not working and then trying more similar things, more things that are similar to get out of that. And it's like, no, like just don't do those things anymore. It's not that they couldn't work, but they're not working for you. And some other parts of the business probably are. So like go deeper there. And I think that's kind of what you were touching on the second part of like, okay, what does that mean? Like doubling down on what works, the reason it's impactful is because you're already getting results. So it's more likely that at least you'll continue getting results or could get more results, but you're not trying to change the direction entirely of something. So with like the going down the funnel, it's like if you have someone who's signed up for an annual plan, they are like, they've just spent a good chunk of money with you and made like a very serious commitment. Those are the people like, okay, like how do we understand these people better? How do we figure out first what problems are they having that we are solving for them and what is not being solved? Like what can we offer them to capture more of their potential value while like giving them equivalent value or more value? It's like, how can we get them to spend more money with us? Then the other part is, okay, this what works is are these people? How do we get more of them? And I think like that's the part where it's like just drilling down to, okay, like they are giving us a sign that this is working. How can we get it to work better? And how can we get more of these situations to occur? And like getting, I think on like a blog to me is just like an easy example where it's like, you might be getting good traffic from a single blog post. That doesn't necessarily mean like you're going to, the next blog post you create is going to get a similar amount of traffic, but it's probably more likely than like if you just try something you've never done before. But even then it's like, okay, is traffic the signal you're trying to optimize for? Because if it is, then yeah, sure. Like after you've done a couple dozen of these and you seem to be getting a lot of traffic, doing more of that will get you more of the traffic. But like, that's not what we're optimizing for. We're optimizing for dollars and ideally like profitable dollars. And so find the people who are giving you dollars profitably, find out how to get more money from them and figure out how to get more of them, like figure out where they're coming from and how to get more of them. And that's like a gross simplification, but I think, cause it's not as though that's like easy to do, but I think the vast majority, when I say like most things don't have impact in a business, it's because the vast majority of the things that we're working on aren't even like thinking about that stuff at all. And like worst case, a lot of it is like doing the opposite of saying, okay, like there are so many people that sign up and do nothing. How do we get them to do something? It's like, well, you can all, like, you always want to make sure you don't have so many leaks in your funnel that potential good customers are falling out. But like at a certain point, these optimizations are, if you have to run a dozen split tests of the sign up form to get this segment of people to sign up, they're probably not good customers if they need that much convincing. And so it's like, okay, like what do we do to actually like get more from the people who have already told us, hey, like I've got this problem. I'm willing to pay for it. Like I'm already paying you. What else can you do for me?
The two things I think about with this are, it is as like, I don't know if I have ADHD, but just like a person that likes new things. It is hard, and maybe it's because I've been running Castos for 5 years. It is hard to say, we're going to keep doing the same stuff we've been doing for 5 years and try to go further down the rabbit hole, as opposed to like, ooh, this thing over here, let's go try that. Like, and I think it just requires a lot of discipline. I'm a self-aware enough person to know that, you know, that like, I know that doing a better job at the things that are already working is the right thing to do, but it's easy to get pulled in other directions.
I think it is easy to get pulled in other directions, but I think it's not doing, just continuing to do the same things. Like that's right. Not
That was my second part. Yeah. My second part was like, I mean, just honestly, like, it's scary and intimidating to say, I really need to understand all of this stuff that you talked about, you know, and break down and abandon some parts of what we've been doing and really focus on one thing. Because I think that, I mean, it's definitely the right thing to do, right? But it is also scary and like intimidating to say, like, all right, we're going to make, even if it's a temporary reversible thing, like, we're going to make the priority be on this one specific thing. Yeah, I think it's just, it requires a lot of commitment, right? And conviction. Whereas to me, and again, this is just my like limitations, is like, just do more of the more vague thing is easier to say, right? I'm just like, hey, fucking let's write 10 times as many blog posts and we'll have all this.
And it's like, especially when it's things
metrics
like
and shit.
Everyone is saying, keep doing these, like, you need to have this brand, you need to have this and that. So like, it gives you an excuse where people are saying, like, everyone else is doing this stuff. So like, if you're doing it, you're never going to look like an idiot. But at the same time, and like, it's unclear exactly what success is and what it's not. So like, there's not really that much accountability. So you're never going to like outright fail. But yeah, it's just like, that's the kind of, to me, just busy work that is very easy to have your time and your team's time fill up with. And like, I think, like, I'm not trying to say as though like I'm the model for doing what I'm talking about, because I'm not. And like, it's a concept to catch myself on, like, even when I've been, I don't know if it's been like some manic trip, but like the last couple of weeks has gone just like really deep into these things. And I think a lot of it is just like between the baby and then like a clear deadline of, not deadline, but like football's coming right up, got a bunch of things in motion. It just forced me to see through a lot of things, like, this doesn't matter. But even then, it's like the next day I'll go down that rabbit hole and I'll have to kind of go back and catch myself again. And it's like, it's a very tough thing to solve. But I feel like a lot of people don't even get to that spot of awareness. It's like, they just keep going through those motions of like playing business and doing the things that like everyone else says to do, but no one really like asks why.
Yeah.
I'm trying to break that. And I think it's probably been, honestly, like in the team, I think, is on board and like gets it, but like, it will be me being stubborn. I was like, okay, like, why, when people have ideas, I want to hear it. But like, if you can't, like, again, not come up with a number, but just explain to me just like why this really matters, we're just not going to even consider it. Cause like, okay, like, this is some big thing that we're supposed to derail these other priorities that I can defend a bit better or a lot better. No, like, I'll give you constructive feedback. And I'll, and like, that's the thing, is like, it's trying to figure out how to deliver that effectively. When it's like, I don't want people to stop having ideas, but it's like, if the ideas are never going to be impactful, then don't have ideas. But like, I don't think that's the case. And so it's just kind of working with everyone. And also, I feel like doing it will help them keep me accountable of just making sure, like, does this really matter? And that's already been happening a bit, which has been great. But to get it a little bit more practical, I said, like, okay, make sure you don't have so many leaks in the funnel that you're turning away, you're just losing good customers. And to me, like, the next step from that is, just because someone is busy doesn't mean they're a bad customer. And for a lot of us, that where it's whether they have to learn a complicated new tool, which is pretty much anyone having SaaS, they have to learn something new or do something significant to even get started, to get activated, like start a podcast. It's like, just because they didn't actually do that doesn't mean they're not willing to, with a little bit of pushing. And again, the people who will just like jump over all the barriers regardless and get it done, those are going to be the best customers, like no questions asked. As your market gets more competitive, they have alternatives. And so it's like, okay, if they hit a sticking point with you, if it's a serious problem, like, they're going to try another one. If they hit a sticking point, they're going to try another one. And there's a certain point where it's like, no, like, I give up. This isn't that big of a deal. The best customers, again, are always going to be the one where, like, whatever issues they run into, this is such a painful problem, they're going to just like figure out the shitty tool and make it work for them, because it's better than what they're doing right now. And make sure you are capitalizing on them. But there's still a lot of people that could become good customers who just aren't in that level of pain. And so to me, that's where, like, I think, I guess before I get into like the tactic for it. It's like the next part is, I also think it's important to identify these hyperactive buyers as quickly as you can. And that's really hard to do with a free trial, because if I have a burning pain right now and I can't get it fixed immediately, I'm going to keep looking for something that will get it fixed immediately, or at least like, let me like understand, okay, it's going to like, I'm going to talk to someone tomorrow and then we'll figure it out. But like, I'm not going to like go through this 14-day thing to try to get the problem solved. I'm going to try to find someone who can solve it now. And I feel like the solution in my head is paid onboarding. And like, I think the higher end you are, like when you get to true enterprise software, if like one, actually, they actually do really charge for onboarding. It's almost always like a guaranteed thing that you do, but I guess maybe this isn't even the point then. So with paid onboarding on even like lower market tools and price points, that gives people a chance to raise their hand and say, hey, like, yeah, I'm willing to pay more to speed this along and get some more help. Because I felt it as a buyer of just like business tools, where I'm just like, man, I'm not an expert in how to set up a knowledge base. And I literally a help desk company. And like, I have some pretty good ideas, but I know there's a lot of shit like I don't know. And there's a bunch of best practices that I don't know. And I also don't want to have to like read all these docs and click around to figure out something. Like, I just wanted to get this done. And so like, why can't I just pay for an hour of someone's time? And it's like, I'm going to ask them, they're ideally should be asking me a bunch of questions and then telling me, here's how I get started. Here's where I would look. Then I would ask some questions and get started. And then if they also at the end say, hey, we can actually just do a lot of this for you. It's not going to be included in this. It's this other thing. But like, would that be helpful? There's a ton of things out there where I would say yes, like immediately. Because like, I don't want another thing on my plate, especially something that I don't even know how to do well. And very few software companies do this, unless they are at that enterprise level. And then it's just like a guarantee, like, this is so complicated and you're paying us so much, of course we're going to like show you what you need to do. And so that's like a great way to get someone to raise your hand, and then you can move on to the next thing to keep helping them. And they're like, okay, yeah, like, I might not get this solved right now. Like, maybe I'm not going to have, I don't have the call booked for 2 days. But most of the time, it's not like truly urgent. Maybe there's something they can pay for even more to like get you immediately or whatever else. Like, there's ways to still like work on those most hyperactive buyers. But I don't think people consider this at all. And then those best potential customers move on to something else, or just like don't get a solution because they're busy. And even if they're willing to pay, they aren't willing to spend a ton of time on it.
Yeah, it's been interesting, man. So we launched our Express launch service a couple of months ago. And it's been interesting. We've definitely had perfect fit customers that are like, this is great. I can't believe that I'm getting all this for $199. And we've definitely had some, this is a ripoff. I can't believe you guys, like all this kind of stuff. And that's been interesting because it's basically paid onboarding, right? Is like, we set up your feed and stuff, and we have like our consultation call where you can ask us questions, we set you up for success. And it's been really interesting to see people that have been successful and people that have not been successful coming through the same funnel. And so I think that like we have a lot of work to do, to your point of like, how do we understand the people that were successful more so we can tailor the positioning of it and how we acquire those customers more towards them, because we have a decent enough cohort now to like understand that. Because they're also going to be super successful, like just paying us hosting customers, much less like the paid onboarding stuff. That's just like a bonus.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's where it's like looking at what's not working can be helpful, because you can also say, okay, these ones that are just obviously not a good fit, how could we have predicted this earlier? Like, what about them could we have seen that we could in the copy literally say, if this is you, like, this is not the right product for you, or sending like a short little like homework assignment or something like right after they pay for it, but before the actual call, where it's basically just like qualification. And if there's a few too many red flags, like you can reach out to them.
Right. Yeah.
And try to figure it out.
Like,
And so, but no, like, I think that's the right idea, but it's going deeper and saying, okay, I want to start a podcast, don't really know where to begin, there's a bunch of blog posts out there. If someone can just like tell me, like literally, like we'll create a game plan of how to start my podcast. Awesome. That's going to be impactful for a lot of people who could be good customers, but they're not going to be your best. The best are going to be the people who say, yeah, this is great. Can you just help me do a lot more of these things? Like, can you book these guests for me? And can you, I've got some interviews, like, can you do the editing? Can you do that? And it's like, it shouldn't be a standalone offer because you're just diagnosing right then. And you give someone a game plan and like, hey, like good luck. But there's a lot of people that would be willing to say, yeah, okay, now can you just help me do these things? And that's where it's like continuously refining. You're almost like you're sifting through these customers. And like, there's plenty of good ones kind of coming along the way, but you're trying to find the, well, like saving the ones that are still worth it. But it's the ultimate goal is just to get more of those best and provide them with so much value that you're able to capture a lot of their willingness to pay. But easier said than done. But that's definitely like the big, big push we're making. I think a good part of this is a separate episode for sure. But like, okay, how do you create a game plan for a customer that's actually helpful? Because not everyone is coming from the same standpoint. Like some people have way more experience than others. But I think a lot of that comes down to being opinionated, but like more than that, it's like having a real framework for how you think about whatever it is that you solve and saying, okay, like you might have your own opinions and your own processes. Like that's fine. Like we can work with that. But big picture, here's how I think about daily fantasy sports. If you're just starting, I can be relatively prescriptive and just say, follow these steps to get started with. Once you're at that point, here's what's going to come next. But if you're already doing well, okay, like let me talk more about what you're doing, what's working, what's not. All right, so here's what we think is important, but you've already got a bunch of that down, but where I think you could get better results is by trying this instead of that. And then let's try this other thing that you're not doing at all right now. And so it's like, it makes it easier for you to create a curriculum. And without that, I think like that's what's needed to tie it all together, because otherwise you're just giving people a bunch of random tactics. They don't really see how it fits together. They don't see how it applies to them. And so I feel like it goes hand in hand. So right now we're just fleshing out that framework a bit more. And then it's going to be, yeah, basically some paid coaching options. So we'll nice. See how that goes. Yeah.
Nice. I like it. Yeah. I mean, I like as just an update from us, like I always am like self-deprecating on this podcast, I feel like, but we've been doing a good job of this. And I think that like these conversations are like almost midway check-ins for me sometimes. Like sometimes it's just like pontificating about stuff. But like, yeah, we saw a lot of really positive like movements in our metrics in the past like month from doing exactly what we're talking about. So like, I know it works, right? And like, it's nice to have been able to focus on a thing, do the work, see the difference in like a pretty short amount of time. So it's cool to see that like we're not just talking trash and not being able to see the difference. But I think that like the point is like there's so many layers and so much depth to it that like I think we did the very first surface level thing. And like the challenge now is like having the courage to really understand all those layers and go deep on things to, you know, have as much impact as possible with the least amount of effort. So.
Yeah. And last thing, I promise, it's not, and this is like me being a bit pedantic where it's like, not, I know you don't mean literally the least amount of effort, but
most efficient effort.
It doesn't even have to be that. Cause I think with prioritization, to me, impact should be its own, like that should be the primary rank, because you could do a bunch of low impact things efficiently and still not get anywhere. And like sometimes, like just because it takes a good amount of effort says nothing about the impact, because there's a lot of things that take a lot of time and have no impact at all. And so it's like,
yeah, right. Fair.
And it also doesn't add up always. It doesn't compound, especially. So like doing a bunch of low impact things will not add up to just doing one massively impactful thing. So I think there has to be some filtering of if this isn't part of something that can get us towards this big outcome, this big impact, doesn't matter how long it takes us to do, we shouldn't do it. Even if some of these things are going to take a good amount of effort, if the impact is that much, like the impact should be big enough where it doesn't matter. So that's my, not even a mini rant. This was a long one this week. Been fresh in my mind and I think is super impactful. So if people want to share their thoughts, tell me what they agree with, what they don't agree with. Awesome. Happy to hear it. You can always reach out to us at podcast@seekingscale.com or tweet at us. And as always, Craig, it was good catching up, even if it was more one-sided this week. But everyone, thanks for listening.